I need to introduce for a moment what we'll be doing in our services today. Jason just mentioned tomorrow. I want for us to think about that night long ago when Jesus ended up being betrayed and when he was arrested, and then this morning. There's a song in our book, seldom sung, but the words fit what we have here. That dreadful night before his death, the Lamb for sinners slain, did almost with his dying breath this solemn feast ordain. To keep the feast, Lord, we have met, and to remember thee, help each redeemed one to repeat, for me he died, for me. It's talking, of course, about that night when the Lord instituted the supper with which he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's what brings us together as a congregation today to praise him for that. And then this morning when we as the Lord's people reorient our lives for this new week, to say, this is who our ruler is. This is what's important to us. This is who we want to be. I'd like to read the passage for us. Remember that this is preceded by Mary anointing the Lord ahead of time with the expensive ointment, the expensive oil. And notice here that in the beginning of this, someone who lived in Jerusalem is sharing a room in his house for the Lord and his disciples to observe the Passover. Today, we're going to respond to him by, in our giving, a little bit earlier in our service than usual for that reason. Here's what it says. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined with the 12 disciples, or he took his place with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful or distressed and began to say to him one after another, is it I, Lord? Or surely it's not I, Lord. He answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. Or it is as you have said. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The hymns sung in connection with the Passover were Psalms 113 through 118. The songs that we'll sing this morning leading up to our participating in this supper are songs in which the phrases are drawn from somewhere in those Psalms. So you can find the phrases in Psalms 113 through 118. I started to show everybody what the verses were, and I concluded it'd be too confusing or too much information. But you can have that in your mind today as we sing, and then as we give, and then as we sing and pray, and then as we look into the Word and think about our participation in the supper together, the thing that makes us one, and the thing which helps us remember who our Lord is. Join in with your heart and mind, please. What does it mean to do this in my memory? What does it mean to observe the supper or to eat the supper in memory of Jesus? That really is what I have in mind with this title. That night, when he said the things that have brought us together here this morning, that night when he established for us a way to think of what he has done for us. A simple way maybe to illustrate what remembering him means now is just to think about the difference between what happened that night and what's to happen this morning, and then what makes so much difference in that, and that's how we plan to approach this. So think first of all about the passage we read earlier, and think about what is going on as this supper is eating, as it's described here in Matthew or the other Gospels. As this supper is eaten, in verses 26 and following, issues of life are still lingering in the room. If you think about it, this whole scene is dominated by the Lord's understanding of what was written about him, of what was going to happen in his life, of what he would be doing for all of us. I know what we mean sometimes when we say, help us to put the other things of life out of our minds for a while. I know we mean to focus on this. But really, the issues of life are very much present when a congregation of the Lord's people remember Jesus. What we're doing is not ignoring how life really is, or what all is going on in the world, or what's happening with each one of us. What we're doing is holding it up to the light of what Christ has done for us and trying to see how it looks in that light. Have you ever pulled a pair of socks out of your drawer, guys, thinking that you were getting a brown pair of socks, and you got to church and they were blue? Don't look at your socks right now. The light can make a whole lot of difference in how things, what things really are. And the issues of life are very much present here. In this picture, there are persons who are experiencing distress and uncertainty in their minds. There is some self-questioning going on. There's some people wondering what's going to happen next, and what will be my place in it. You notice how when Jesus reveals to them his knowledge of what's going to happen, they all start asking, is it I, Lord? Surely you don't mean me. And the language is pretty strong. They were very sorrowful, or they had great distress, and they said this one after another. So that's going on in this picture too. The Lord's Supper is not celebrated by people who have no concerns, who don't question themselves, who believe everything is completely as it should be in their lives. Third, as this supper is eating, there is someone there who's in the process of handing Jesus over for something far less valuable than Jesus. I'm talking about Judas, of course, and the Lord was too. Judas had been offended, apparently, at the waste of that oil that Mary poured on the Lord, and how much it could have been sold for. John explains that he said that not because he had any compassion for the poor, but because he was a thief and he usually carried the money bag for the group. And he didn't want to lose the money. So he's gone away and made an agreement with the chief priest and others about what they would pay him to hand Jesus over. He's been very specific about the amount. I wonder if he had it written down somewhere. In this picture here, notice that Judas asking questions too, but notice carefully all the rest of them say in verse 22, "Is it I, Lord?" And Judas says, "Is it I, teacher, rabbi?" Maybe that's revealing on its own. Jesus convicted him with, "It's as you have said." Someone was in the process of handing him over, and yet he ate this supper with them. He wanted to. And then in this situation, as the supper is being eaten, and as they have the issues of life there, and as they start questioning themselves, and as they had someone in their group who's not doing what he should have been doing, then pretty soon their attention gets turned on each other. Notice that I didn't say toward each other. That's how it should be. We should turn our hearts and our thoughts toward each other and be as generous and compassionate toward each other as the Lord is being to us. I notice in Luke's account of this, though, while they're sitting there at the table and as Jesus reveals to them what's going to happen, verse 23 of Luke 22 says, "And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this." I can understand that. We forget about him and we start having our discussion. Which one of us? And then it's interesting, the next verse, verse 24, says, "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest." You can see this, you think about it. Which one of us would do the worst thing? Hand him over. Well, which one of us is the greatest? Which is the trouble when we leave out Jesus and we start putting our attention on each other. It's not long until we're in a dispute because we've started comparing ourselves with ourselves. And that's not going to turn out well. And then that night, as supper is being eaten, intentions are being formed that won't be realized. There's nothing wrong with good intentions. The problem is they are all formed by human beings, and human beings still have their limitations and weaknesses. So after they sung a hymn and they head out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to them in verse 31 of Matthew 26, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it's written, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I'll never fall away." The discussion goes on. If you remember, Peter wasn't wrong to intend not to stumble. The thing is, though, he overestimated his ability and he underestimated the pressure Jesus was talking about, and he argued with what the Lord said was going to happen. Intentions get formed that are not going to be met. Now look at that list of things that were going on as the supper is eaten that night. Are any of those things going on in this room this morning? What do you think? Some of them, of course, we're making choices right now about what will be, our intentions and so forth. But all the rest of those things, I think you could pretty much say they'll be going on most of the time when a group of people get together on the Lord's Day morning. Now think about what happens because this supper was eaten. That's as it was being eaten, but because this supper was eaten, the responsibilities and demands of life can be met. Ordinary, imperfect disciples of the Lord can live for Him in the real world of life as it is. They didn't leave the supper and go out to what was going to happen at Gethsemane in order for them to just give up. What Jesus was doing was confronting them with how things really are, appealing for their hearts, having them to follow after Him, going to meet what He needed to meet in the Father's purposes. And the story doesn't end there. It begins there. Life does not have to be perfect for it to be good and for it to be worth living and for us to be able to approach it and to know that with the Lord's help, we can manage it. That's the perspective the supper brings to us. Secondly, because this supper was eaten, we can remember that meeting the demands of life depends on His covenant and not on our ability. What He asked His disciples to remember was the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for us, He says. Covenant means here is a relationship which He extends to people, in which He obligates Himself to exercise steadfast love toward them, in which what He asks of them is loyalty. What He asks of us is loyalty, in other words. A covenant is much, much more loving than a contract, but it's also much, much more binding than simply a human agreement entered into. This is a relationship extended by a great King toward people who would be defenseless otherwise, for Him to obligate Himself for their good and for their benefit. The covenant obligation makes us want to obey Him and want to do His will. It makes us committed to what He has said. But it reminds us that our relationship with Him does not depend on our ability, but on that covenant which He established. Third, because this supper was eaten, there is loyal, forgiving love as a reality in the lives of the Lord's people, which we come back to and come back to and come back to again and again the first day of each week. When it says, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins," one thing implied is He was going to go ahead and give Himself, despite what else was going on there. He still was going to give Himself for us. The other thing that's implied is that forgiveness is not gained by the supper. Forgiveness is not secured by observing the Lord's Supper together. Forgiveness is remembered and celebrated that way. Forgiveness is possible because of His offering of His body and His blood. We remember that we gather together as a forgiven people. And that, remembering that, is expected to have an impact on us. Because the supper is eaten, we are obligated to strengthen our brothers. In Luke's account of this, after their argument with each other of who's the greatest, and after his telling them, you are those who stayed with me in my trials. I'll see to it that you're rewarded. My paraphrase, verse 28 and 29. Then he says to Peter, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." So Peter intended that his faith not fail. The Lord prayed for him. Peter was still a man of limited ability, and when he had turned again, he could do a lot of good for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Kenneth led us in praying about that a few minutes ago. And because this supper was eaten, there are expectations of a future for God's kingdom and its fulfillment. Jesus, even though he's talking openly about being handed over and about his body and blood, he's talking about drinking this fruit of the vine, new with you in my Father's kingdom. Then after I'm raised up, I'll go before you like the shepherd who's gotten back up. You notice in verse 32, a lot of times the world sees to it that our hopes get dashed and we gather together as people who are somewhat beaten down and wearied by life. And it's good for us to be reminded there is a future for the Lord's people. There is a hope for God, for life when the Lord delivers up his kingdom to the Father and when it continues forever. All right, now, think about the picture. The only one who can turn that night, look for a minute at those qualities again, those things that night. The only one who can turn that night, the experiences there that all of us can identify with, I think, in one way or another, into this morning, look at those qualities now. The only one who can change the one into the other is Jesus. It's his presence in this picture that makes all the difference. It's not the 12. It's not what happened before, what happened after. It's Jesus' presence in this picture which gives it its power. Here is Jesus explaining the Passover in terms of his body and his blood. Several times in Matthew at verse 2, then again at verse 17 and 18 and 19, it's referred to this as in connection with the Passover. The Passover was when the people of Israel remembered that God had redeemed them from slavery by his own mighty power. The host at the Passover supper that they observed would take the bread and then explain its meaning. This is unleavened bread like that we ate in haste because God was getting us out of Egypt in a hurry. And then the fruit of the vine, and he would explain the blood which was placed above their doors and on the lintels so that God would pass over that household and deliver that family. And then maybe also the blood of the covenant in Exodus 24 and verse 8 at Mount Sinai when God made them his people and became their God. And here's Jesus explaining that. This is my body. This is my blood. Now obviously he's sitting right there. He wasn't saying that somehow this changes in... a way of remembering, illustrating the meaning of what he's done. Here's Jesus turning attention to his Father's kingdom and then submitting himself to its rule. I want to drink this new with you in my Father's kingdom. I want to get up after they have crucified me. And then in the garden, having prayed, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Jesus finally says, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Remembering him is done by people who at the least want God's will to be done in our lives. And then here's Jesus desiring and seeking the fellowship of his people, the company of his people. Notice how carefully he made the arrangements, had them make the arrangements for this, and how he hosts the meal, and what their presence mean to him here at the supper, and then in the garden, where he takes Peter and James and John and said, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he wants them to watch with him. In Luke's account of this night, in Luke 22, at verse 14 and 15, when he takes his place there with them, he says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I'm sure I don't know everything that means, but I at least can see that he wanted to be with his friends. He wanted to observe this memorial with his friends. You know, we come together on the Lord's Day morning to remember, as he asked us to. In Luke's account, after he had taken the bread, he said, this do in remembrance of me. He did not ask us to remember his suffering. He didn't ask us to give a blow-by-blow detail of what took place at the crucifixion. He just asked us to remember him. Him. Brother Bill Flatt, who for a long time was dean of Hardin Graduate School of Religion in Memphis, observed there is a certain value associated with the Lord's Supper. Don't treat it as though it's not of value. Prove yourself. Sift out the evil in your heart. You can't be selfish and eat the Lord's Supper at the same time. Don't eat the Lord's Supper with a selfish attitude. Don't be exclusive. Practice charity with what you have and in your relationships. Enter into it humbly and wholeheartedly. Give your full attention and appreciation to what you are doing. Then praise God for His unspeakable grace. Let's do so as we remember this morning. You can hear the call of Christ in what we have been remembering and what we have been singing about. I mentioned earlier that the psalms that were sung in connection with the Passover were Psalms 113 through 18. The last half of them, 115 through 118, were sung after the supper, from what I can learn. So perhaps the words from Psalm 118, the last half of it, were lingering in their minds as they headed out across the Kidron to the Mount of Olives to Gethsemane. Hear these words. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will praise you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The call of Christ only becomes louder in the gospel that arises because of what he told us would happen that night and what happened the next day and 3 days later. And ever since then, anyone who will has been privileged and invited to call on the name of the Lord and to follow Him through the gates of righteousness and to live. When we change our minds about who our ruler should be, from self to God, when we put faith in what Christ has done for us and confess it with our mouths, when we're united with Him in baptism, when we follow Him, we're on the way to life, not death. That's all the difference. If you're here this morning and you hear that call and you're convinced that you're ready to answer it, then we'll sing a song and invite you to let us know of your desire. If you're just someone who has questions you want to talk to some of us about, we'd be happy to give the time and our best ability to that as well. If we can help you, let us know by coming while we stand and sing.